This is Tom Waddle on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports. Thanks for listening to the Waddle and Sylvie podcast, sponsored by Coors Light. Stay inside and buy your Coors Light online. Find out how at get.coorslight.com. Coors Light, take time to chill.
This is ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports. From State Street and the First Midwest Bank Studio, this is Carmen and Yurko, WMVP Chicago.
Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Follow us on the gram at Carmen and Yurko and at ESPN underscore Chicago.
You can spend your time alone.
Good way to finish. Thank you to our great producers, Randy Merkin and Chris Bleck. Crosstalk is brought to you by PropSwap. Our guys, Luke and Ian, they're the best. They're standing by us during the pandemic. We're standing by them. PropSwap.com, your home to buy and sell sports bets. A little bit more on the NFL tomorrow. Will baseball be coming back? We'll spread our wings some. But today was a Last Dance Monday presented by Coors Light.
You can sing this,
coming up next. my famous Eddie Vedder. Waddle and Sylvie are here for the afternoon. Waddle's back. How are your folks?
They're good. They're doing really well. It was 82 and sunny for three straight days.
Lucky.
Oof. You forget. I mean, you forget what nice weather looks like.
Yeah, no kidding, right? Well, Saturday was nice here. Yesterday was, oh, my God.
Yeah, I came home. I got home. I drove through. I got in about 3:30. By 4 o'clock, I was out front trying to find ways for my storm drain not to get clogged.
Unfortunately, it happened to me, so yeah.
How about some screening? No, good. But that would even be worse. No.
Yeah, it would be.
Did you have some problems, Carl?
Yeah, we had a problem. We got it, you know, we got it mostly taken care of.
Good. But There's nothing worse.
No, nothing. Yeah.
Well, there is. But you know what I'm saying.
You know, your window wells have those drains, and one of them just got clogged, and we weren't in the basement for a while, and it was just pouring. The water had started to fill up the entire, almost the entire well, and it was just, it was ugly. So, I mean, I missed Yurko's Twitch broadcast, which I was dying to see. I didn't start The Last Dance until probably after 10 o'clock. I had to catch up. Yeah, it was pretty
significant. With you, Carm. I was on delay because I was having to get to take care of some stuff.
The storm knocked my system out.
Oh, did it?
I was going to say Johnny's Twitch. I did not catch Johnny's Twitch, but I did catch Johnny's message to Jim Furyk for his 50th birthday.
That was priceless.
May have been the hardest I've laughed in 2 years.
Yeah.
Well, we can't.
I'm going to put that on T-shirts, guys.
CNB
right there.
Listen, if that isn't like, and it's all really for the guys that are approaching 50, and it's out there. Yeah. It's on my Twitter page if anybody wants to go there, at Yurko64. It's just something I thought about. You know, Tabitha called me and said, hey, it's Jimmy's 50th on Tuesday. They're having a big to-do for him on Saturday. I was one of 80 individuals to give him some birthday wishes, you know, via
you
video
best,
and
though.
Stuff like that. So I like
you
to
had
think
to be
so.
The best.
Did he respond to you?
It's a way to live like Tabitha did. Yeah. Jimmy eventually is going to reach out to everyone. So
great.
It'll be
so
good.
Funny.
You're going to steal
inviting?
The show again.
That's what I like to do, guys. I like
Were you drinking before you
I was not.
It? Wow, that was special.
I was not. That was I just... She wanted it on Thursday, and it was Thursday morning that I ended up taping it.
I don't know how.
And I was hoping one of my Rugrats would be awake, one of the two, Nico or Jake. I was hoping one of them would be awake. Rugrats. Nope. So I had to position it and kind of lock it into place and press the button. And
we're talking about filming,
and
right?
Send it off. Yeah, filming it. And my Nico turned 24 on
happy birthday.
On Saturday,
happy
too.
Happy birthday, Nick.
Yeah.
24. Yeah. Wow. Oh, my
God. I have a question, though, Yurk. I was the lone guy then in this group who did tune in for your Twitch. I went out of my way for this. I was looking
Appreciate
forward to
that.
It.
Thank you.
What was going on in the basement? You made several basement references that it was off limits.
Well, there's some contraband down there.
You couldn't clean it up beforehand?
Well, I mean, I thought that, you'd ask the occupants of the home if they would make sure that it's 100% hunky-dory when my head went down there. But I guess there's a big 6-foot Skeletor bong down there. But something the kids call a rig, you know?
A rig.
A rig, yeah. Well, you know, in the youthful the youthful experiences down there. The young people will know exactly what a rig is.
A rig's a truck where I'm from.
Yeah,
me too.
You got a rig and an acetylene torch, and you got yourself something
good
special.
Good Lord. All right. So that's why we couldn't see the basement last night?
Well, yeah. The cameraman at the time was shaking his head going, oh, no, 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 no. So, you took the cameraman for his word
that
there.
That is fabulous.
And there may have been a little product out there. I don't know, some birthday cakes, some Girl Scout cookies,
oh,
some
my God.
Purple Cadillac. You never know.
It's all legal these days, isn't it?
Not in Indiana.
Not theoretically in Indiana, but they don't even bother if you have if you don't have over 28 grams.
Yeah.
They're really not going to bother you.
Johnny's got to go. There's a raid on his house.
No, he's all good.
Yeah. Well, there ain't nothing to get here, boys. Trust me.
Well, not from what you just told us.
What? None of those apparati are wrong. Right. Nothing wrong with that.
Apparati. Is that a word, apparati?
Sure, apparati.
Like apparatuses.
Dictionary.
Yeah.
No, it's for sure. Apparati is a word. Word.
Sir. So what did you guys think? Finishing touches on The Last Dance. And, boy, it went by fast, didn't it? Those 5 weeks flew by. Which is a good thing, I guess.
Yeah. What do we got now? I thought, and we're going to talk to Jason Hare, and he's going to take your calls today at 332-3776. But like all good movies, what a way to go out. I mean, with a little controversy with Jordan versus Reinsdorf, with a little emotion and sentimentality. What's the word?
Sentimentality.
Sentimentality. Yes.
Sentimentality. Yes. With what you guys just played, with the burning of all the notes and a Michael Jordan poem. I mean, what an ending! Powerful.
Yeah. It was.
The music was great too.
The music was great. It was a perfect choice. I'd never heard that story before about burning the notes in the coffee can like that. Sylvie, you ever hear that?
Either. Yeah.
I thought the Steve Kerr story was good too.
I mean,
like I'd heard. You know, pieces of that story over the course of years, but I didn't know all the details. I thought them telling the story, I mean, I thought it was
Powerful. Some of the grisly details.
Yeah, that little note, and then the guy, the Chicago police officer, that was his guy after his father died.
Yeah, Gus.
Became his guy, yeah. So I thought that was pretty good, too.
That was real good. Yeah, the stuff with Gus, you're right about that.
So now
What did you guys make of, like... I think through all of this, too, we see how weird Michael can be.
Yep.
Like, how about after they just won their sixth championship and he's in there playing the piano? And the crew that he's got around him, there's not one player in there celebrating. There's a bunch of hangers-on. There's Quinn Buckner.
Yeah. And who was it do with the red on?
I don't know, I was wondering that. The red jacket, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, like who was
that? To the left, right? Are you talking about the guy on the left?
He looked like Brett Saberhagen back in the day.
Yeah, like who was that crew? You're right. I mean, but he wasn't really tight with his teammates. I mean, we learned that. If we already kind of knew that, you really learned that through this, didn't you? You know, that he was strange or weird is a good way to describe it. Most geniuses are, I guess, Sylvie. You know, let's face it.
Let me ask you a question. Do you think, I mean, based on
he's a basketball genius, obviously.
Yeah, to be as hard as he was on his teammates, did he have to separate himself? So, I mean, in his own mind, he couldn't be friends with them and ride them the way that he did. So he kind of created this own barrier, this artificial barrier, so that he could continue to have that, you know, relationship with the guys.
I think that's a good point. Yeah, that could be exactly it.
I mean, you can't have a really tight relationship with somebody that you're consistently harassing or punching in practice, can you?
No. Guys that you're constantly riding and constantly pushing and at every turn, you know, demanding so much out of them. And I'm sure in a way they're all thankful at the end of the day because they all got to reap the rewards and you share in the benefit of winning. But
maybe that's how he was able to maintain his perspective or frame of mind with how he dealt with his teammates. He separated himself from them so he didn't have this overwhelming relationship, so he could ride them as hard as he did.
And you're right, Sylvia. It was a bizarre scene, right? You know, like if that was the end, that's the way he's going out, you know, with that. It is. It's just strange. He's a fascinating...
That was championship night. I mean,
yeah,
they were all together in the locker room, fine. But, I mean, you think you're going... You see them get off the elevator, and you know that they're all hanging out. A lot of them are hanging out, but... you know, I always remember Waddle saying to me early in the series, hey, how close were Scotty and Michael? And I think we learned through all of this, just like I assumed, that Scotty and Michael had this thing on the court that was very, very special, and maybe even in practice and in the locker room. But when they left the Berto Center and the United Center, those two guys are not great friends, and I don't think Michael is really great friends with anybody on that team. He's friends with George and the security guys and Quinn Buckner and some other
Ahmad Rashad and Oakley.
And
that's about it. It's like, yeah, with the circle was more the security guys. You're right.
Did you guys read the article? It was a snippet from somewhere. I think I sent it to Sylvie and Meller and Abdallah, where I guess one of the finals games, Ahmad was sitting in with Michael before the game, like a short period of time before tip-off, and Phil was there, and Jim Gray walked in, and Phil was like, get the F out of here. And Jim Gray was like, well, what about Ahmad? He goes, he's family. You get the F out of here.
That's great. Yeah. Ahmad was different, for sure. He had unprecedented access. Yeah, it was... I don't know. I really enjoyed the 10 weeks. Last night I was left with, believe it or not, a little sense of maybe more peace than I've had thinking about the way everything ended. It was, you know, you just, I guess, remind yourself it was perfect to see them never lose, you know, to go out as champs. It's awfully perfect. The next year would have been, I don't know.
Yeah, but listen, the pool was poisoned.
Well, of course.
It was poisoned, and it was set up that it was going to be a failure anyway. They would have had to maneuver. A lot of people would have had to have sacrificed.
Oh, yeah.
Because Jerry was laying that out there already.
For years.
And who do you blame more? Do you blame Krause or do you blame Reinsdorf? Reinsdorf, ultimately, the guy in charge.
Yeah, I mean, he's basically telling you we're not playing market. We're not paying market value for these guys. We weren't going to do it. He's told you that. You know,
He always said his
Lackey
up top. He always said his Lackey up Krause. With...
Yes, Yerk. And look, Jerry Reinsdorf, like, what did we learn here? This didn't start in 98, at the beginning of the season where this is Phil's last year, and if he goes 82-0, he's not taking over. They were shameful for doing that. But, I mean, remember the story that we learned through Tim Floyd through all this, that they're winning their fourth championship in Seattle, and Jerry Krause asked Jerry Reinsdorf to walk around with Tim Floyd in downtown Seattle.
Yeah.
If I'm the owner, I say to my general manager, stop it. Stop it. This isn't about you. We're about to win a championship here. I'm the owner. I love what you do picking talent, but the buck stops on my desk, and I'm telling you, you find a way to coexist with Phil Jackson, and we're not bringing Tim Floyd to Seattle to talk about this. Now, this is years in the making that Jerry Reinsdorf could have made this stop.
It's always about the Benjamins, right? Yeah, I mean, he basically was he's telling you that, and I mean, there's... To think that they would have all been back, it's almost impossible to think because of a lot of extenuating circumstances, not just Jerry's adversarial relationship with those star players and with Phil Jackson at that point.
You know,
and once he said what he said, the whole 82-0 thing, those waters were poisoned. You set an entire sort of like mantra in motion for that season for 8 months. Last dance. Now you're going to go back on it? Phil never would have gone back on it.
You can have this conversation till you're blue in the face about would they have won. Should they have? All I can say to you from my perspective is whether or not they would have won. Scotty may not have wanted to take a one-year deal and would have left. Other guys may have done the same.
I think we know the answer to that, Tom.
They should have been given the opportunity to do it, even if it set the organization back a few years. Because, look, they were still – right. Well, I'm just saying if the rebuild was set back for a year or two, the building was full and it was going to stay full for the next several years. So money wasn't going to be one of the problems. And, you know, there are extenuating circumstances. Bill Belichick has made a career out of waving goodbye a year too early than a year too late.
Yeah.
Maybe sometimes that works. The other way, when you have the greatest basketball player of all time, maybe you take a different approach and you give him the opportunity to go out on his terms as opposed to you going a little too early as opposed to a little too late.
At least with Brady Waddle, they came, what was it, Tennessee coming into New England? And they watched Tennessee.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. You know, throw, like,
they won.
Right. Yeah. They didn't do it after one of these Super Bowls.
They waited until they lost. That was Yurko's point.
I'm more mad today than I was.
Oh, are you really?
I'm
more
pissed.
Mad. Wow, this guy's livid.
Wow.
He's beside himself. You're a journalist. You're not supposed to allow emotion to get into this. You were covering the team at the time.
Yeah, now he's just a fan, though.
Yeah, he was a journalist. He had to emotionally remove himself.
You're right.
To find him this far, this long, still having this bitter pill, this vitriol in his body.
It's kind of great that we never saw him lose, though, I will say that.
Well, by the way, guys, I think we're up against the clock.
Yeah, we are.
And I just want to let you guys, I think you guys are going to do a wonderful job today. It's going to be a fantastic show.
Thanks,
the good
John.
Kid, the 18th. The state of Indiana has opened. I am going out to the local pub and getting myself some perch, and I'm getting myself a cocktail.
Perch. I love how he's like, perch is his choice.
Perch and a cocktail.
Hopefully Freddie
perch and a cocktail.
What's
the first thing you're going to get when quarantine's over? Yeah. Perch.
Perch. Hopefully Jackie Gleason gets a heart over in the state of Illinois and allows you guys to open up one day.
Very good. Another new one.
He and Beetlejuice. What? Don't say Lori Lightfoot fast three times. She'll show up.
All right. What's up? What's up on the show today, boys?
Oh, boy. All your phone calls. Are you mad after watching yesterday's final episode? Or are you okay with it? I'm not okay the way it ended. And I think this was years in the making that they could have done it a different way. And it's not just 1 year, whether they could have won the next year. It's bigger than that. Jason Hare, the director of this soon to be award winning series, is going to join us at 3, and he's going to stay for 2 segments.
Oh, wow.
And we're going to take listener phone calls. So any questions you have about the documentary that we have not asked that you want to ask, 312-332-3776. We'll replay some of the Matt Nagy interview. Waddle hasn't heard that. We asked some interesting questions that he was pretty open about admitting mistakes to.
Yeah. We'll play some of that tomorrow. We just didn't get to it today, but we want to play the stuff about, you know, the preseason and the running game. We're actually going to play some tomorrow. But
yeah,
it was good stuff. So.
And the pizza game.
And the pizza game, right, yes. All right, boys, have a great day. Waddle,
I got
and
pizza face over here.
Yes, you do. Waddle and Sylvie are coming up next. We'll see you tomorrow.
Waddle and Sylvie.
Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Yeah, Waddle's back, and it's a Last Dance Monday brought to you by all of our friends, and especially Waddle's at Coors Light.
Coors Light.
Stay inside and buy your Coors Light online. Find out how at get.coorslight.com. Coors Light, take time to chill, which I'm sure you did.
I did.
You took time to chill in more than one way, including with Coors Light.
I did. I took a drive to Tennessee to see my family. It was a peaceful drive. It was actually, I have not been much of a road warrior, so to speak, in my life. I hate to drive most instances, but based on everything that's going on now, getting in the car by myself and driving for 8 hours from Chicago to just outside of Knoxville, Tennessee,
right,
was actually therapeutic.
Enjoyed. That's good. Yeah. I mean, how long is that drive altogether?
Well, it depends on how fast you're going.
Well, and you go fast.
Yes, and I did it in 8 hours both ways.
Okay.
Which is pretty good. I mean, it says 9 hours, but, you know, that's if you're just puttering along.
What was it, like 500 miles? Is that what?
600 miles. 600.
Wow,
miles.
You did 600 miles in 8 hours.
Yeah.
That's good for you.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I stopped once on the way back.
One time. Wow.
One time. And I wasn't peeing in a bottle.
That's weird for you, too, because I would think that's like 3 trips to the bathroom,
okay,
at least for number twos.
This is how I do it, though, brother. I my meal the day before travel is scaled back, so there's no spicy stuff. There's no, like, red sauce. You have to eat very bland. And then before you go to bed, you have a little bit of Pepto. When you wake up in the morning, you clear the pipes. And then have a little more Pepto. You get in the car with a bottle of water. You drink only when you need to. Boom. Not a single bowel movement needed in an 8-hour drive.
You're eating like I've got to eat the day before my first chemo on Friday. You do that for your road trip so you don't poop in your pants. I
love
that.
That's exactly right. Yeah. And listen, these are not the days when you want to roll into a rest stop or even into you know,
that's
a McDonald's or a Wendy's bathroom. You just
I didn't even think about that. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Ooh. All right. Well, I don't look. You know, there are some of these days where you could wind me up and let me just go.
Are you
and,
pissed? Or, you know, you're pissed. You're pissed. Somebody's pissed, ladies and gentlemen.
I'm not just pissed about the episode. I'm pissed about the general defending the Bulls organization for the way it ended. I mean, like, which you give me a contrarian way, and I'll fight it off. Like, this Cap was on this morning. It's Phil Jackson's fault. Phil was the one who decided not to leave. Well, wait a minute. Jerry Reinsdorf should have ended that when Jerry Krause came out and said they could go 82-0.
Right.
And you set the table for that. And it goes back even farther, where it goes back. They're winning their first championship since Michael's return. They win 72 games, a record. And Jerry Krause says to Jerry Reinsdorf, hey, Jerry, I want you to fly out Tim Floyd and meet Tim Floyd in the city of the team that we're playing for our NBA's championship here, number four. We should replace Phil, even though we won 72, even though the players love him, even though this is only our first championship.
Floyd told us that was a cockamamie plan.
Like, why does Reinsdorf need Tim Floyd to even tell him that? That's a non-starter in mind. So, like, this notion that Cap's thrown out there that it's Phil's fault because Phil needed time. Like, the reason why Phil didn't want to come back in the end is he was so beaten up by Jerry Krause trying to replace him over the clash of the egos. And I read Krause's, you know, non-published biography, and I understand that the team was breaking down, but what happened afterwards is not kind to Krause either. Like, in the end, you could say Robert Kraft chose Bill Belichick over
Tom Brady.
Dude, Jerry Reinsdorf, you chose Jerry Krause over Phil Jackson, Michael Jordan, and Scottie Pippen.
Yeah, the seeds of disintegration with regard to that core were sown years in advance. So, listen, I totally believe the story that Jerry Reinsdorf tells that hey, he tried to patch things up at the very end. That I don't know if that's a, for lack of a better term, saving face moment, because he already knew that wasn't going to. He knew at that point that it was over. I mean, there was no turning back. And like you said, it wasn't because of even the fact of what they said when the season began, that they could go 82-0 and there's going to be a coaching change. This, as you mentioned, goes way back. So this was something that couldn't have been saved at the last moment, not because of stubbornness with Phil or Michael or others. It was because that the direction was already was set in motion to change by the organization years before.
And then for those who want to say, but Sylvie, they never would have won. It was a team that would have broken down. Fine. But let's look at the bigger picture, too, in this. Let's say you make it good with Phil. Let's say you didn't try to fire him after 96. Let's say you didn't say 82-0. Let's say you did everything to try and keep Michael. Is your future better when you didn't say goodbye to one of the greatest teams in basketball history? The perception out there still, even of the Bulls in 2020, is they didn't treat Michael, Scottie, and Phil, and this will only inflame those, the right way. Like, you could have had a better bridge using Michael, even a broken down Michael, in some way to get to the next generation of good Bulls teams.
I think, and actually the conversation about whether or not they would have won a seventh title in a lot of ways is inconsequential, because you can argue on the other side, as you mentioned. The point for me is you should have allowed them the right to end it on their terms as opposed to your terms.
Right. And look, I heard Greeny say it. Carm said it. Guys I love, I respect. Well, it makes it even more special that they went out on a high note. I mean, that's what you tell yourself after a bad breakup. You know what I mean? You got a bad
still
breakup.
Friends.
Yeah, you look for that one. Say, I would have wanted more Michael, more better. Why? I mean, okay, fine. If they would have lost, it would have stung. It would have stung in the moment. But if you could have held a better branch to building the next championship team and had Michael working for you instead of for the Wizards organization, and not had such a bad divorce with Phil and Michael and Scottie, there's just better ways. And I know Scottie wanted that long-term deal. Could you have still built it with somebody else? Like, it was pointed out today, Waddle, the 99 team that went to the Eastern, that won the Eastern Conference Finals and went to the championship team, was a New York Knicks team without Patrick Ewing.
They were the A seed, weren't they?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I'm with you again. Like, like I said, whether or not it would have worked to me is kind of inconsequential. And if you look at it from any angle you want, from a business perspective, that building was going to be filled for years to come. And it was, right? I mean,
yes.
The tickets were sold. Everything was rolling. You can make a strong argument that Scotty would have left because he was finally going to get a payday, that other guys like the Dennis Rodman was used up. And I mean, you can play this out for as long as you want. But I agree with what Michael said from one of the opening scenes of this entire docu-series when they were sitting celebrating, what was it, the fifth title. And he said, we've earned the right to go out on our terms.
He had to fight for it then. Yes, yeah. Right. That's the way the series started and the way the series ended. Michael Jordan, the greatest of all time, had to fight for a sixth.
So me, again, so if you want to come at and say, like, I think it's silly for anyone to say, oh, they definitely would have won because it's Michael. I think it's silly for anyone to say, well, oh, they would have definitely have lost because I don't know how it would have turned out. Look, the Indiana Pacers, you know, basically almost took them out prior to them winning that time. Anything could have happened.
Of course.
I'm just telling you, I think with the benefit now of several years of hindsight, it just would have been nice to give them the opportunity to go out on their terms. And again, I get it. It would pause a rebuild maybe by a year. Who cares?
All I wanted, Waddle, like the Isaiah Thomas mistake of the handshake when Isaiah was on with us. He said, look, I screwed up. You're right. I was wrong. All I would like is Jerry to say, look, in hindsight, after the last 20 years, it turns out it was a terrible decision, and it was probably the bad decision then, too. That's right. It. Instead of, like, for his investors, they're thrilled. He won at the business of business. He has not won at the business of winning. And I thought it did the franchise a lot of harm in the way that he's operated. And I will never, if I had Jerry Reinsdorf in an interview, which one day I hope to get,
you're not
my
gonna
burning... What? No,
you're not
going
to get a second bite of that.
But I would ask him, the biggest riddle to me in Chicago sports is, why does Jerry Reinsdorf choose to be so loyal to underachieving front offices, but yet say goodbye to some of the all-time greats with really no really worry? Michael Jordan, Scottie Pippen, Frank Thomas, Magloire Ordóñez, Ozzie Guillen, on and on. It's easy to say goodbye to them. But when it comes to the guys who are running the front office, he will, like, even the guy who's John Paxson, who's been there now, he still hasn't been fired. It took him going to Jerry to say, I'll move off to the side to make any sort of change. I'll never get that. I will never get that.
Fair.
332-3776. So we set the table for you. Are you mad after watching it? Whose fault was it? And what'd you think after all said and done? 10 episodes, The Last Dance. How would you rate the series? Want to hear from you. Don't forget, we're going to take your phone calls with Jason Hare as well. At 3 o'clock, he's going to join us for the full half hour today. 332-3776. It's your turn. 332-3776. We'll play some of the best sounds from episodes 9 and 10 also coming up next.
What is your name, please?
Waddle and Sylvie.
Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Peace up. A-Town. Yeah. Okay.
All right, we'll talk Last Dance with Jason Hare coming up at 3. And don't forget your chance, our fans' chance, to talk to the award-winning director. And this series is going to get a lot of accolades. Your questions that you may have had, like if you want why this wasn't covered or bringing up a question about that, this is your chance, 312-332-3776. Waddle's back today talking about The Last Dance, and it's all brought to you by Coors Light. Scott in Highland Park wants to weigh in on this. Scotty, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up?
Guys, how you doing?
We're great. Thanks.
Listen, Carmen, I want to add on to what you said. And I want to answer your question about why Jerry Reinsdorf is so loyal to his people. The answer is money. Okay? Listen, they could have redone Scotty's contract. I understand Scotty signed a bad contract, but they owed him that money. Okay? And they these guys They did everything for this franchise. And to have it go out the way they did, to have Jerry Krause say to Phil Jackson, 82-0 and you're not coming back, and the owner doesn't do anything about it, why would Phil come back? I got to tell you, I am so proud to be that we enjoyed get 6 championships. I feel blessed to watch the greatest athlete ever to play. But come on, this is about money for Jerry Reinsdorf. I'll hang up and listen to your answer.
But I think he was still going to, I mean, I get it, but I mean, the money was still going to come in. That's my point is like they were going to win financially regardless of what decision they made because that building was going to continue
right,
to be
but
packed.
I still think, Waddle, they were able to pocket like at least over $30 million by simply cutting it back. Right. So they won their true. 6, and then that next year their payroll was like $30 million less, and then it probably would have been more because of what they would have had to pay Scotty.
Weren't going to pay Scotty.
I'm with you, nor do I think that Scotty would have taken a 1-year deal.
Right.
But, like, again, like, a lot of this goes further back to just the 98 decision, just like I said about Tim Floyd getting interviewed in 96. Like, why do you have to poison the waters that way? Like, the one thing about, I see both sides of when Jerry Reinsdorf says, Scotty, I'm paying you an 8-year contract. There's a bad deal, but if you do want it, sign it. I don't want to hear you belly aching, you know, because you signed the 8-year deal. Now, the one thing that could be advantageous about caving to Scotty and redoing his deal with a year or two left is you can still get him on the cheap going forward. Do you know what I mean?
Sure.
Like if you do choose in 96 after they win their fourth championship and Scotty bounces back from the 1.8 seconds and is a pivotal role after a 72-win team, Scotty's unhappy, wants his deal done. You could sign him for 3 more years at less than the market value because you're doing it 2 years early and now you got him through the year 2000.
Yeah. I mean, it's unfortunate the way it played out. There's no question about it with Scotty. Look, I can understand what the caller is saying. Be, you know, do Scotty right. But again, if you sign a contract, okay, and you're told not to sign it, you sign it anyway, and your agents are there to represent you, and you decide to do this, that is your responsibility. Now, the other side, some guys outplay their contracts. There's no doubt about it. Other guys don't. Other guys actually get a free ride. Other guys sign contracts and then disappear. And the owners don't get to renegotiate that. So I guess you have to deal with all of these on an individual basis and try to take a larger picture view of it and not, you know, not look at this inside a vacuum. But that's not the part to me that like leaves me most. The not renegotiating Scotty's contract to me is not one of the things that leaves me most disappointed.
I just think it was a domino effect, though. Ways to avoid a lot of, like, Scotty doesn't have to go to free agency at the end of 98 if you would have opened that thing up 2 years before. It still, even though it would have benefited Scotty the most, it still could have been beneficial for you because you've got leverage of having him still signed for 2 more years saying, okay, we'll add a year or two to your deal at this rate, and then it turns out you're still signing him at below market value to when he reaches free agency. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, I get what you're saying.
But I mean, all these, there are domino effects. But again, when it comes to Jerry Reinsdorf as the owner and an investor, he's brilliant. He has lined the pocketbooks of his investors.
And remember also, going back to real briefly, the players have significantly more juice now than they did back then. They have more power now than they did back then. So maybe exercising that authority is easier today than it was back then. You know what I'm saying as a player? I guess that's why Jerry Reinsdorf, I don't remember him being ripped about not renegotiating Scotty's contract at the time. With the benefit of hindsight, I hear more people upset about that than at the time.
Well, right. I'm just saying how it goes into it. People are saying, well, Scotty never would sign a 1-year deal. Well, you could have avoided that pitfall if you would have 6 years into his 8-year deal saying, all right, we just won. I get it. I don't like opening in Pandora's box, but you're bigger than that. You're one of the 2 greatest players to ever play for this franchise. There are just ways to end a lot of these arguments before they were arguments, is all, if you're a proactive owner. But you enabled Jerry Krause to do what he wanted every step of the way. You chose Krause over Michael. You chose Krause over Phil. You chose Krause over Scotty. And that's what you're left with now, being viewed through the lens of, hey, you could have made this better. But still, Waddle, I polled this question on my Twitter handle, at Waddle and Sylvie. It's all brought to you by your local Chicagoland Toyota dealer. Check them out at buyatoyota.com. And Jerry Krause is still getting the most votes. I phrased it this way. This poll, I'm sure, has been done 20 years ago. Who do you blame for the end of the Bulls dynasty? And I gave you four options. Let me know if you guys think there could have been another. I gave four options. It was Jerry Krause, Jerry Reinsdorf, Phil Jackson, or Father Time. Those are the four that I gave. That
I would have chosen the owner, because ultimately he has final say.
Me now, too.
Jerry Krause, again, I didn't look at this as at the very end they could have salvaged it. There was so much damage done through the course, and you've highlighted and documented it, whether it was Tim Floyd in Seattle or 82-0 and Phil's still not coming back, or you know, Jerry screaming the organizations win championships. That foundation had been laid significantly earlier than that final season.
Right.
But all of that could have been circumvented even more so. Now, I think Jerry Reinsdorf has taken this opportunity through this docuseries to try and give you a different outlook or a different perspective on that. But at the end of the day, he had final say.
Right. Like Jerry Reinsdorf said, I called Phil. He didn't want to come
right,
back.
Right, exactly.
Like, you know what they used to do with Brett Favre getting out of retirement? Well, load up the plane, bring Michael, tell Michael, we're bringing you back. We're going to do everything we can to get Phil back. Let's go. We're going to Montana. We're knocking on his door, and we're not accepting no for an answer. I mean, there are many different ways than saying, hey, I called him. He didn't want to come back, so what do you want me to do?
Well, and Jerry kept saying, too, and I've read several different articles where he kept referencing that it was Phil had determined it was time. Phil maybe would have not determined that that was the time had he not had such a contentious relationship
right.
with Jerry Krause over the course of several years. It built to the point where it was time for Phil, but you could have circumvented that if you had handled the relationship different. I read another piece where I guess at the end Phil sat down with Jerry sometime when they were, you know, the Lakers were in Arizona, and he told Jerry Reinsdorf that he wanted to smooth things over with Jerry Krause and let bygones be bygones. And I believe Jerry Reinsdorf reached out to Krause, according to this article, and Jerry Krause said no.
Yeah. I mean, remember, Jerry Krause didn't go to Michael Jordan's Hall of Fame induction because, quote, he was boycotting for Tex Winter. Now, I get your stance on Tex Winter, but this is the guy who, the only guy you didn't draft. You keep preaching organizations win championships, and now you're saying you're not going because of those are all terrible looks and stuff that, yes, maybe he got a raw deal in the big picture, but he could have done so much more than to make the story easier on himself. And he always chose to step in the poop. 312-332-3776. We'll take all of your phone calls. Jason Hare joins us at 3 o'clock.
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
Follow at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87 on Twitter.
All right, we've been very fortunate to have the director of The Last Dance, Jason Hare, join us each and every Monday at 3 to recap the previous episodes. This is the last dance of the last dance.
The last of the last dances.
Yeah.
I can tell you this, regardless if there's no more episodes or 20 more episodes, I'm still going to be bringing you my performance brought to you by Coors Light.
Oh, yeah. Waddle is always brought to you by Coors Light.
I mean, so don't worry about that. That relationship stays intact.
We should do that. I mean, it should just be Tom Waddle is brought to you
I am brought to you, me personally. I'm brought to you by Coors Light.
I don't mind that. Let's take Jeff in Bridgeport. Jeff, you're on ESPN 1000.
Thanks a lot, guys. Sylvie, first, hang in there, man. My brother-in-law went through the same thing you're about to go through. And a couple years later, he's great bill of health and I'm sure you're going to be able to do the same. So I'm thinking about you and then just to hang in there.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm with you. Yeah, absolutely. I'm frustrated. I kind of feel like the Tuesday after March Madness where there's that emptiness. The past 5 weeks have been awesome. I texted my dad last night how much fun it was to relive these memories, and it was great. But, yeah, I would have much rather seen them go for seven, go for whatever it was, and get knocked off and pass the torch, similar to how Boston did to Detroit and then how Detroit to Chicago, to let them go for another one. You know, it kind of feels like it was anticlimactic. Like, there was still so much more, but yet it just ended and disintegrated all at once, and it was kind of frustrating. I'm with you. I think it would have been great to see them at least go for seven. They got knocked off. You know what? They could walk away saying, it's done. You know, we gave it our best. We're finished now. But a great series. I can't wait to hear what you guys have to say at 3 o'clock, and look forward to talking to you guys soon.
Thank you. Appreciate your phone call. Well said. 332-3776 is the number for when Jason Hare is on the line too. He will take your questions. I mean, he has been so great to us.
I got one for him.
What's yours?
My question is, we finally kind of, I think, through 10 episodes, I think last night was the first one where we saw at least a significant amount, and how significant we can debate, of Michael Jordan's frustration or being upset at Jerry Reinsdorf. Right?
Right. That surprised me, and I thought that was really a really good part of the ending. Jerry Reinsdorf never does go after. Michael never goes after Jerry Reinsdorf.
Well, and it's to the point that you say, you know, like picking on Krause is the easy thing to do. And I'm not suggesting he should, quote unquote, pick on Jerry Reinsdorf. But does he show more deference to him? Maybe that's the wrong word as well. Or has more, you know, respect or whatever it is because they're not co-owners, but they're both owners of franchises in the league? Is it because, you know, he has feelings about Jerry Reinsdorf that he didn't for Jerry Krause? Why isn't he more visually upset at times with Jerry Reinsdorf, who could have, with the final say, changed the course of some of this?
It's where Jason did great work again with the iPad. Seeing Jerry Reinsdorf say that, I feel like he felt backed into the corner. And you know what happens when Michael gets backed into a corner.
Oh, he's, yeah.
Don't put baby in the corner. Yeah.
That's right.
So Michael came out then.
I thought also one of the other things was I think Reggie Miller kind of in that. That was one of the highlights for me of yesterday as well. I loved hearing Reggie Miller talk.
Tomorrow, we decided on Friday, Waddle, tomorrow's Final Four is going to be your four favorite parts of The Last Dance. So keep that in mind, whether it's Reggie Miller or some of the other stuff. What were your four favorite things out of, you know, 10 hours of documentary? It's tough to do four, but this hour is brought to you by Manscaped. My guys at Manscaped, use promo code Chicago at manscaped.com. Guys, get 20% off and free shipping. And look, take care of the people who take care of us. The people who are loyal to us, guys like people at manscaped.com, take care of them as well in these times, and you'll take care of yourself. I had a second haircut, and I used the lawnmower 3.0.
Did you do it yourself, or did your wife do it?
My wife did it, yeah.
Oh, good. How'd it
come
out?
We did it like on Saturday. Looks good. We had a talk this weekend that we're going to start saving money on haircuts. I suggested that my haircut permanently and
why don't you
give
her a haircut, too?
No, I don't think.
Whoa, what do you mean? Whoa.
I
want her
to cut my
hair, though. What's good for the goose is good for the gander.
She's not forcing me, though.
Okay.
Yeah, I want to play you, Meller. Do we still have time to
play? Kind of tight now. I'd rather not make Jason hold if we, you know.
Yeah,
what I mean?
That's right. Right. We will find time. Meller put together the montage. We heard part of it on Friday, but now he had episodes 9 and 10 to add to it.
There's nothing better than a good montage.
Oh, it was really good on Friday, and Meller did a great
job. He is a professional montager.
We have a late addition to tomorrow's show, Waddle. I guess it's not so late because it is still Monday. But I requested to Abdallah that I have more questions for Tim Grover since we talked to him last. Especially
pizza questions?
Pizza questions. Yeah, I want to know to Tim, the Bulls just lost two straight games. It was 2-0 Bulls, firm command. You just lost two in a row. you're training the GOAT. You're one of the top trainers there is. I'm sure you're stressing nutrition as well during all these training sessions. So you're telling me at 10:30 at night, the day before the game, you think it's a good idea, period, to go get a pizza? And then, how did they know that the pizza was for Michael Jordan? Why did they show up with five different delivery people?
So you know what I'm saying? Do a pizza investigation with Tim Grover?
I have questions about the whole pizza.
Okay, has he agreed to come on and talk with us about the pizza?
Abdallah, how did you put it to him?
Sylvie wants to yell at you about the pizza.
No. I just said, hey, will you come on with Waddle and Sylvie again? And I don't talk to Tim directly.
His people.
He's got people.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's got people. And his person was like, we love you guys, of course. Come on.
Boom,
and I don't think he's gonna at this point, I think what we've noticed from this, The Last Dance, and why you can take everything seriously, is that Jordan just kind of doesn't care anymore about, hiding stuff like the cocaine circus and all that other stuff and his feelings towards Scottie Pippen and certain things. And if he was hungover or if he was something like that, I think he would have just said it. I don't think he cares anymore.
It could have been a good brag 20 years later saying, you know what? I drank tequila all night long and gambled till 3 a.m. and I still went out and scored 38 points.
Do you know who else made it? I think for the first time, at least in a fairly significant way, who made an appearance in The Last Dance? Trainer Wally.
Yeah. Oh, Wally had a speaking role yesterday.
Yes. Wally, and I just started following Wally on Twitter. Got a refollow for him. So maybe we can get, because I think there were times where Wally was pretty much in charge of Dennis.
Oh, we should do, yes.
So
yes.
We should go on, try to get a blow in a call at Wally and see if
Wally's world.
I think Wally is the head, or at least for a while, was he the head trainer for the Hawks, Atlanta Hawks, or part of their medical staff? I think
you asked me that before. You just followed him. I mean, did you say hello? Yeah. What are you doing these days?
I didn't. Did not. I followed him, then he refollowed, and then I had to do this work thing with you. So I'll probably give him a shout at the end. But I knew Wally a little bit back in the day. So he's the one that gave me the information about, Rodman, would the door would be open and there'd be a mattress in the family room of the apartment, and there'd be a couple of naked people on that mattress. And what the hell am I supposed to do? I knock on the door. Dennis! I'm not going to come in there and shake you, but you got to get to practice.
It's fantastic. All right, you better get in line now. So this is your one opportunity. You've seen everyone interview him. We've interviewed him every Monday. He's been one of the most engaged guests that we've had. He had 10 episodes. He's going to win a ton of awards for The Last Dance. What do you want to ask Jason Hare? We'll start with our questions. We'll go to your questions. Line up now at 312-332-3776. If you have a question for Jason Hare, we're back in 2 short minutes.